Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today on Daily Pop, Oprah has some advice that could change your life. Erin and Nina are back to break it down with me.
Hey, hey.
But first, did you guys survive the great outage of 2021?
Barely. I didn't. Ooh, I got an addiction.
How many times did you open it, like, within an hour when you were like, you just forget?
And I literally didn't realize it's a go-to for me more than any other app. Like, I'm just like, oh, let me see what so-and-so is doing or what's going on. And I went to it so many times yesterday. It was a little crucial. I was like, I might have to see somebody.
Did you guys spend more time on Twitter yesterday because it was down? Because I was spending a lot more time on Twitter, and actually a lot of people tweeted me like, you've been stuck at the top of my feed all day long, like screenshotting the post that I, there we go, it's right there. I posted that right before the crash.
Oh, wow,
and that
you made
was
it.
Stuck on everyone's feed.
I love that. I tweet, so I was on there. What I found was I saw a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time on the feed.
Yes.
I was like, oh, hey, nice to see you. Felt like a little reunion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What about you?
So, you guys, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp went down for more than 6 hours yesterday, and the world lost its damn mind. Facebook says it happened because of a faulty configuration changes on the backbone routers.
Whatever that means.
It means they're not telling the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what it means.
No,
it means something else was going on.
100%.
Okay, because my email was also down for a couple hours. I wasn't getting emails. Like, some weird stuff is happening in the universe.
But don't you guys think it's a little bit too much of a monopoly at this point? Because
yes.
Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram are all owned by the same company now. So if one goes down, all of those go down. I just feel like there should be a little bit of a breakup so that we're not, you know, it's a little strange.
100%. I also think they could have had the moment where they would have told you, hey, by the way, we're expecting 3 to 6 hours. Please don't come back and check this app a million times and waste your day. Because
yeah.
that's what people were doing, even though they knew that they were gonna be down for 6 hours.
Is this connected to the whistleblower? That's my question.
There's so many conspiracies out there that I'm starting to believe it probably is.
I truly think that we are going into space and the aliens are like, we don't like this, and now they're messing with the things that we love the most.
Well, I like that they messed with it because it showed us all of our addictions. People were tweeting about it. I think Offset tweeted and was like, I think I have an addiction.
Yeah.
I tweeted the exact same thing. I'm talking about my addiction to Instagram while I'm talking about being on Twitter. But anyway. One for the other. I guess I should just go read a book.
Uh-huh. And yesterday, talking about I was the problem.
Actually, you know what? I did that before. I deleted all my social media apps. And I noticed how much I was, like, looking for them. And I replaced the apps with a book. And I read, like, 5 books in a month.
Wow.
Okay. So,
and then you went back.
All that time. Yeah. And now I haven't read a damn book since.
You guys, let's get to the O. She is friends with everyone, right? Not so much. She says she only has 3 close friends.
Oh, wow.
There's Gail, there's her longtime personal trainer, Bob Green, and then there's Maria Shriver, who Oprah talked about on Hoda Kotb's brand new podcast. Listen to this.
How do you describe your friendship?
I'd say that there is a spiritual connection. Mm. I'd say the reason I first met her in the bathroom at WJZ-TV early in the morning, and we started a conversation. And I forever think that that was like a divine moment that happened, because she was one of my true grounded friendships that carried me through my entire career. There's Gail, there's Maria, there's Bob. And that's about it.
I've always wanted to know what it felt like to be invited to the Last Supper. Like, if Jesus only had 11 chairs and he invited, like, 11 of the closest homies, that must have felt like $1 million. Oh, but yeah. Imagine being one of three that Oprah invites to Serenity, her home in Montecito.
That's like less than a handful there.
100%. But I think she's on to something. I feel like the older you get, the more you trim the fat when it comes to friends and acquaintances, you don't need as many people as you used to in your 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I mean, growing up, my mom used to say, and this was as a kid, she's like, because I would be sad if I fell out with a friend or had a fight on the playground or whatever. And my mom used to tell me very early on, like, you will be lucky if you have five friends enough to count on this hand by the time you graduate high school. So keep the good ones close and everybody else just understand and treat them accordingly. You know, you reciprocate energy. So I learned that like really early on. So I never really had these huge expectations for everybody. I had expectations for the people that I was close to, but I never grew up thinking like I need to have a ton of friends. I just never was that person because I knew that most of those friendships weren't going to be rooted in anything that was, you know,
valuable.
Exactly.
Yeah. About how many friends do you guys have? Like close friends, like how Oprah's counting? What's intimate to her?
Including my plants?
No plants included.
Oh, I probably have five intimate close friends that I feel like I can call on and say, hey, I need a kidney. I need $15,000 today. And they would happily drive me to the bank and then the hospital and give it to me.
Right.
But outside of that five, I probably have another 10 that I can say, hey, we're going on a trip. Let's have a fun time. But I compartmentalize people because I did get a little sad. Right before the pandemic, my goal for the new year was to make more gay friends because I felt like I was missing some of those core party fun gay friends, and I didn't have it because I was hanging out with old white women, who I love, and I love to hang out with them, but I just needed somebody who got what I was going through, you know, about to venture into this fatherhood thing and single in your 30s. I needed someone to talk to about that, and then the world was like, hold up, shorty, this is a pandemic. Rona's coming, you're not making no new friends, but it gave me the time and the space to really work on the five or six that I had that was super close.
What about you, Erin? Because you have a lot of family.
I have a lot of family here in LA especially, but I have like close friends from every stage of my life. Like I have my one best friend from middle school. I have my four best friends from high school, my five best friends from college. So it's like I have like an eclectic group of close friends, and I know that they're all ride or die. I can call on them whenever. Yeah. So I'd say maybe about 10 close friends.
Oh, were they all at your wedding?
And you're still young, so give it another, you know. I feel like at each stage of your life, like you start to lose a little. You know what I mean? Like you're in your 20s, you got like 50 friends. And then in your 30s, it trims down to maybe 20, 15. Uh-huh. By your 40s, it's like four or five. You know, because I feel like I went through the phase in my 30s where now everybody started to get married, people started to have kids. And it's not a disconnect in a bad way, but people just start to live their lives and more time passes before you talk. So then you kind of are like, are we as close as we used to be? Not intentionally, but we just don't have a lot in common anymore. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there are people who transition into things I just don't relate to.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
But the girls who have kids too like to shut you out. It's, you know, the girls who have kids like to only hang out with the girls who have kids.
Am I going to shut them out or are y'all going to
No, because I'm down for a baby shower. I'm down to come and like play with your kids. But the girls, when they get kids, only want to hang out with the other cool moms.
Not always.
It always happens.
It's 80%. And it makes sense. Just like you want to hang out with, you wanted to hang out with other gay men because you wanted to feel related to them in a way that only they understood. Of why that's why a mother would want to hang out with other moms who are struggling with sleep deprivation and breastfeeding. So it makes sense.
They shame me for not having a uterus.
Look, do not kick me out. Do not kick me out is all I have
to say. You're always in the circle, girl. Always.
Leave that breast pump at home. Hoda's going to be joining us live in just a few minutes. She'll tell us more about her chat with Oprah. And did she just drop a big hint about another baby on the way? Well, there is another shakeup over at The Talk. This is probably the 17th one this year. Uh-huh. They just announced that former NBC anchor Natalie Morales is joining the show.
I was at NBC for 22 years. Wow. So I had a wonderful time there. But it's always exciting and new to, you know, start something different. And I love this new adventure that we're all going to be taking together.
Adventure, that's a strong word. Natalie will make her debut on CBS on Monday. Even that announcement was boring. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
Are you getting ready for violence today?
Look.
Let me say this. I've worked with Natalie before on Access Hollywood, and she is very informative. She does her research, but I have never felt like she was a controversial figure. She's not gonna be like a Wendy Williams. She's not gonna be someone, like I assume she'll be in the moderator position. And typically the person who's moderating outside of this show, because we know you like to give your opinions.
Oh.
But typically on a moderating show, they give less of their opinion and just kind of keep the train rolling.
Right.
It's an interesting choice. When there are a lot of, because I feel like she's coming in where Elaine left. So I feel like there was an opportunity to bring someone in that might be able, that's like on the cusp of things. But, you know, I mean, to each his own.
I don't know. I feel like this show had so many opportunities to like change the show, yeah, make it fresh, reinvent it. And it just seems like it's getting, I don't know, a little stale? Is that too strong of a word?
No, not at all.
It's your opinion.
Not at all, it's your opinion. By the way, CBS doesn't have many opinions, obviously, from who they're picking.
Well, none of us are going on that show ever, so just, I mean, you know, at this point.
And since we're not going on the show. Going on the show.
I will say this, the talk had me on one time, and they was like, never again, girl. Like, it was like, they had me on one time. I made a comment, you know, I said something about, like, you know, I mean, this is the thing. I made a comment about racism. And I felt like they felt like it was too much on the envelope. They never said that, but it was cut out the show.
Wow.
And then the calls stopped coming.
And then I sent an email like, thank you so much for having me, and never heard back. It was just, and I felt, and this was like probably like 5-6 years ago before it was even more accepted, I feel like, to talk about the elephant in the room. And it definitely felt like, I felt like it was too controversial, and it was never again, honey.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think the reason why Elaine may or may not have seen the door is because she was talking about
things? We know Elaine is also someone who won't just accept a situation. She's been very vocal about, you know, systemic racism, racism in general. And she left. It's not like they kicked her out, but she had challenges there, as we know. And so it's an interesting climate, because I feel like, look, I worked for CBS for many years, and this was, you know, 2013, 14, and the times were even different back then, where I felt like I was always kind of being muted. I felt like I was always, we're here, it's like, they don't give me, they're like, do be you.
For sure.
I did not have that experience. My experience was toned down. Don't be so loud. Don't, you know, we don't want to have a debate. Even the debates had to be scripted. It was very, like, they wanted to control that for me. That was my experience. And I felt very much the most unlike myself that I had ever been on camera with that experience. And I definitely didn't feel accepted as a Black woman on camera when I was there. It was a hard time for me. I was a young journalist.
Yeah.
And I could have went either direction. I could have gone more like play this game, or I'm gonna go where I'm accepted and appreciated. And I decided that I wanted to go where I was accepted and appreciated, and I was gonna love who loved me, whether it was a smaller audience or not, and it worked for me. I don't know how it's working for other people, but I will say being a Black person in media is a struggle in general, because there's so much that you notice and that you see that may be tone deaf, that might be, you know, a part of this rooted system. And you wonder, like, do I have this fight today? But as a Black person, you are always representing all Black people on camera. Mm-hmm. You don't have that same experience sometimes when you're white. People don't look at you as a white person and say, you represent all white people.
Mm.
See,
yeah,
it's always a struggle, like, when do you speak up? So, wow, you know, I didn't mean for this to go into that conversation, but it is a conversation that does need to be had about just how we are perceived as people of color on camera.
Well, absolutely. If it helps you, I know when to speak up, and it's when the direct deposit hits. Still ahead, Adele just dropped a big surprise. We're listening to her new song. Plus, Brian Austin Green tells us how Dancing with the Stars is actually heard in his love life. That is all coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The wait is over. We finally know when we're getting that new music from Adele, and she even gave us a little taste. Not in the 86 Camry.
I love it.
Not in the Toyota Camry.
You're for it.
I'm already crying, you guys. I know it's going to be one of those that wrecks you.
Oh, I can't wait.
I feel bad for my ex-boyfriend. I don't even know which one I'm going to call after this album, but I feel bad for one of them.
Please don't call any of them, because then I'm going to get a call after.
Moving on to something good. It was Britney night on Dancing with the Stars, and Tyra was once again trending for her high fashion choices. She wore this Britney-inspired schoolgirl outfit and a green dress with a snake belt.
Tyra, what is going on, honey?
I'm here for it.
But the thing around the skirt when she did the Hit Me Baby, the long skirt part. I don't need that part.
Wait, did she perform?
I'm here for it, yes.
I'm so confused. Tyra performed last night?
Tyra gave you a moment, y'all.
Well, we know Tyra has always wanted to be a singer.
Yes, the album.
It's not a little much for you. It's a little much for your girl.
I could have done one outfit and, like I said, make the skirt, like, without the little train.
Can I tell y'all something secretly?
Please.
I watched Dancing with the Stars to see how extra Tyra is going to be. And I think she does it on purpose.
She clearly
knows
does.
That we are going to talk about it. She knows the assignment. Mm-hmm. And for Tyra, she's not one of those people who's just going to go into the back because she's not the one dancing. She is going to take these moments and bring it and get conversation going. I don't know what's going on Dancing with the Stars other than Tyra Banks is extra.
Maybe we'll That's get used true. To it. You know, I think it's always hard when someone steps into the hosting seat where someone else has been there for a really long time, you know, but I do feel like it's supposed to be about the contestants, and we don't even talk about them anymore. We talk about Tyra.
Exactly. When you have Tyra as the hostess.
So I guess our plan is working.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, Justin's watching.
Look, I know when I come to your wedding, it's technically your day, but people are going to be talking about my outfit too.
Oh, then you won't be at the wedding.
He's going to show up in white. Justin's the guy who shows up in white.
Yes, Justin's going to come in a white suit, honey.
Iridescent.
Elbowing people out the way.
When the music starts. Cheryl Burke and her partner, Cody Rigsby. Here we go. We're talking about contestants. Also found a way to compete despite both of them getting COVID. Ooh. Take a look at all the drama from the ballroom.
I'm so proud of the hard work that we put into this. I'm also ready to just like leave this week behind. You know, like, okay, great. We did it. We made it. And see you later.
I think we're also just so lucky to be able to have another chance, right? Like, I don't think that, you know, I did not think that this was going to happen. Now, the disadvantage, I guess, for us is that I believe it's harder, right? Like, during tonight's performance, I had no idea what Cody was doing. I didn't even see him on a monitor. So, like, I was just, like, hoping for the best.
It gets better and better every single week. It has really just felt so... It felt like such a moment. In the beginning of this week, Jenna said to me, she said, we're gonna go there. And I feel like we went there and I feel like it was worth it. Yeah. We really wanna do well and amaze people, shock people each week. I searched pretty hard for negative things and I couldn't find any. We're on Dancing with the Stars as the first ever same-sex couple, two girls dancing together. Of course, there's gonna be people who aren't gonna like it. But for me, it just feels so right and so normal. I can take it no
more. DJ, what you waiting for? This is a tough situation. It's a lot harder than people realize. I mean, we've got
The thing that Sharon and I have going for us is that we honestly get along. We really love each other and really try hard. And I don't want to disappoint her while we're rehearsing.
I think that's one of the biggest things too, that Bri has this deep, you know, not a deep fear, but a deep concern that he's going to disappoint me in any way. So sometimes as a coach, we get into that mode of, good, but this was wrong and that was wrong and this is wrong, let's fix that and let's do this and this. And then hearing that from like the person you're in a relationship with can be really difficult just 7 days a week.
I don't know if I should be really sad because I'm not. I live my dream. This was a 15-year dream to be on Dancing with the Stars that I never thought was possible. And I've worked really hard. We've worked really hard together. We've had so much fun together. I made so many new friends here. It's a family. Great, great memories and great moments.
What, Nina?
We could stop talking about Brian Austin Green and his girlfriend. I didn't think they had chemistry on the set. Did y'all?
No, I think they're aggravated with each other. Because
really?
When you work that close with your man, it's a disaster. You should never work that close with any boo you have.
I'm actually surprised that they became partners because she's like a perfectionist and he's like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll try it.
Right. Do you guys think, I know this is real messy, but if Megan tomorrow was like, Brian, I want you back, would he go back?
Brian wouldn't even take his shoes from Sharna's house, okay? That's how fast he'd be running, okay? It would be like Speedy Gonzalez. Beep, beep.
He said he loves her, Justin.
And it works, and they're happy, and they're dancing. Happy.
And let me tell you something. If Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox don't work out, that savage will pick up that phone and say, what's up, just to see if he's going to jump. And he will, right off that building into her car. Am I wrong?
No.
Clap if you agree with me in the audience.
Hit the commercial.
Okay, the men are sleeping today. Coming up, Britney Spears reveals why she's been crying for 4 hours, and surprise is not about Tyra's outfits.
Oh, my goodness.
Plus, right after their breakup, is Bachelorette Claire throwing shade at Dale, and when she's going to go back for that D, that's next.
Justin, that was not in the process.
That's D for Dale.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. It's time to take a look at the stories making headlines in today's Hollywood Minute. Britney Spears is thanking her fans one more time for changing her life. She posted a message to IG yesterday shouting out the Free Britney movement and their constant resilience in freeing her from her conservatorship. She says, I cried last night for 2 hours because my fans are the best and I know it. And all four Kardashian siblings enjoyed a family dinner date last night. Kim posted these pictures of Kourtney and Travis and Khloe and Rob, writing, out to dinner with my favorite couples. It was a rare sighting of Rob, and fans were thrilled to see him looking so happy and healthy. And here's some royal intrigue. Princess Eugenie's husband just told the Daily Mail the palaces have secret tunnels. He says there's one at St. James Palace that leads to Duke's Bar, and on Duke's website they say, if the walls of this intimate space could tell 1,000 stories. Oh, to be a fly on the wall of that bar. And that's your Hollywood Minute. So, Bachelorette stars Dale Moss and Tyler Cameron may not be competing to be the next Bachelor, but they are competing in the boxing ring. We caught up with them at the Triller House Light Boxer event, and while Dale was a little press shy after announcing his split from Claire, Tyler was ready to do some trash talking as always, and he told us why Jesse Palmer gets his vote as host.
He's a Florida Gator. He's a quarterback for the Gators, you know. Won a championship. But he's great. My dad was a Gator. I'm a Gator fan. So, big Jesse Palmer fan. So, I'm excited for him.
So, will we ever see Tyler back on The Bachelor?
I don't know. I never say never to anything, you know. It's just not right now. I got some things I want to do for myself.
He also shared some advice for fellow Bachelorette alum Dale Moss, who split from Claire Crawley.
Weather the storm, focus on yourself, grow, learn, and move on.
Tyler and Dale may be great friends, but he's not holding back in their virtual boxing match.
It's just about the passion, the love of the loser, the love of the sport.
We're going to fight a little bit. That's going to be awesome. It doesn't matter if it's Dale, it doesn't matter if it's my little brother, it doesn't matter if it's some lady off the croquet court, I'm gonna win.
All right.
Like we said earlier, Dale decided not to talk at the event since he had just split with Claire.
Wow.
Since then, Claire said she's thankful for the people who stand by her, especially when the cameras are off. And Dale claims that Claire blocked his number.
Why do we know so much? Why do we know that? They don't want to just, like, okay, the breakup happened. Let's both agree to not talk about each other. Like, let's just marinate in it for a little bit. Like, it's your story, you can tell it. But maybe it's too much right now.
They got to hold on to the 15 minutes, because the 15 minutes, it gets even longer when you stay together, but then when you break up.
I got to tell you, with this pregnancy, the
you
shade.
You crispy. You are crispy with this pregnancy.
Yes, like
you are crispy.
Sorry, guys, I just got to be honest now.
I like it.
I don't think it's about the 15 minutes. I think it's about, look, from the day I met Dell on that show, he looked like the type of dude who had a mattress on the floor. And y'all already know what I say about dudes with mattresses on the floor.
Not a mattress, an air mattress?
No, a mattress. Oh. With a box spring, but it's on the floor.
Okay.
And what do I say about dudes?
He looks like he got at least a box spring.
No, he got a box spring, but it's on the floor.
But no frame.
But no frame.
Stop!
And everybody knows if a dude got a job but also has a mattress on the floor, that it's a good time. And when I say a good time, it'll change your world.
Okay, but let's not put it all on him, because let's not forget that Claire went in real hot. Mm-hmm. As soon as the Bachelor was done, she was talking about babies. She wanted to go full speed ahead, really, really fast. It even was scaring me. I got like secondhand, like fright. I got a little fright from like commitment, seeing like it was like she was eating his whole face in the interview.
Oh, 100%. Come on. When was the last time you saw a man that was 6'4" that looked like that? Come on.
Yeah, but you don't just leave after the second week of knowing him, being like, we're gonna get engaged and get married and then have the babies.
I mean, the whole Bachelor season was a mess because her attraction and, you know, how she was feeling Dale. She thought it was, you know, this was gonna be her person. But I think it always felt forced to me. So this is not a surprise. And I think sometimes relationships don't work out. It doesn't have to be there's a bad person. And, you know, we are all heroes in our own story. That's all I'll say.
Oh, but
blocking the number is something went awry.
No.
I block people all the time.
Yeah.
I block Justin for a couple hours a day. You know, you gotta block people.
Yeah,
for your own
mental health. It's true. It's totally fine. She's gonna go back. When you're over somebody, you don't need to block.
He's not going back.
Something happened that made it final.
He's not going back. This is done.
Remember what you told me yesterday?
What I tell you?
That it might be toxic?
Yeah.
Maybe they might be toxic.
Oh, true. I think they are.
All right, guys. After the break, Hoda is here. She is everybody's morning inspiration. We're talking Oprah, her new podcast. So stick around. Here with us now is my girl and the GOAT of daytime TV, Hoda Kotb. Do you miss me yet?
First of all, why aren't you with me here in New York? What are you doing on that coast? We have a spot for you.
Let me know when. You know I'm just trying to come once a week, come hang out, and then come back here and do my thing in L.A.
Buddy, you shocked me to the end. Last week when you popped out, I mean, I've had a couple of those moments in my career, but nothing's better than looking at your big face on a monitor and you go, I'm going to start with this breaking story. I was like, oh, what is it? What's Beyonce doing?
Uh-huh.
And then it was you.
Well, look, we got to talk about a big breaking story because people are talking because of this photo of Haley Joy and Hope Catherine. So explain this to me. They are both wearing I'm the Big Sis shirts. Is there something going on?
First of all, you get right to it. You don't mess around.
Nope.
Okay, that is me on Amazon ordering two shirts, okay? Size 5 for kids and size 3. And that's how it came. So there's nothing to tell, but you know what they, I it was funny. I was looking at it. I was like, do they both say big sister? Who knows? Nothing behind it, but it was a fun day.
Oh, they are so cute. Are they getting along? Or are they having little sibling splats yet?
They're getting along. I mean, they do have their spats because kids do, but they love each other. I mean, one of my favorite times of the day is watching them together, like on the monitor in the morning in their room together.
Oh,
they play. It's just like, it's beautiful. What I realize is if we just get out of the way, everything gets resolved because yes. We're in it trying to fix it. And you're like this. No, you get out, let the kids have their moment and they'll iron it out and be besties in 5 more seconds.
Oh, my God. You know what? Looking at you and Joel's relationship and Joel's older daughter, is Joel teaching you a lot about being a girl mom?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's older. He's an older dad. So he's also, when he was a parent to his older daughter, he was traveling a lot. So I think, you know, times are changing. Now everyone's got to get smack in the middle of it. You know, it wasn't the way it used to be where a dad would sort of pat the kid on the head and say, oh, great, now let's have dinner. And then dad's going night-night. Like, it's different. So I think he's getting another shot at it, too.
Oh, well, speaking of another shot, honey, can we talk about this podcast? Because you had Oprah on your podcast.
First of all, here's what's funny. Maria, I called Maria and I said, look, it'd be fun to have you and Oprah. So she goes, Oprah kept going, why are we doing this, Maria? She goes, because we're doing it, okay? That's why we're doing it, because we're doing it. So the two of them came together. And look, I knew they'd been friends for a long, long time. I didn't realize just how beautifully bonded they are to one another. 42 years of friendship. And they both described, like Oprah said, if there's one word that described Maria was cherish. She cherishes her. And Maria said, until Oprah, I don't know that I'd ever been cherished in my lifetime.
Wow.
And I know it's like a real bond, like through all the highs and lows of life, the lowest of lows, which is like going through a divorce or a passing or like in Oprah's case too, when your network doesn't work out the way you want it to.
Yeah.
And the highest of highs, they were there for one another. And I found that part of it, like I was watching Maria deliver her eulogy at her mom's funeral. And it was so poignant and beautiful. She said, at 52 years old, I climbed in bed with my mom and said, I love you to her in that way for the first time. And that so moved my core while her mom was passing. And Oprah, when they panned the camera to the audience, there was Oprah sitting in the pew. And I thought to myself, that's a lifelong friendship.
Oh, my God. That is so touching. I'm ready for you to make space for you and Kathy Lee to have that real moment where you talk about all the good, the bad, and the ups and the downs that you guys have been through over the years. When is that going to happen? And how much wine are we going to need?
Kathy Lee on this podcast, it's her perfect place. But the good thing about Kath is, no matter when you sat with her, and you know this yourself too, Justin, when you sit with her, she always makes space. She makes it for everybody. And when you sit with her, you feel like you could, like there's nobody else in the world. I've been at a party and I see her in a corner talking to a producer who she hardly knows. And we'll sit there for an hour because that producer has questions and wants and needs. And the day that she's on my podcast, like I cannot wait to hear all of her stuff. Like she gives a lot away, but she keeps a lot tight. She doesn't ever give it all away. She gives the impression, so everyone goes, oh, yeah, I know Kath, Cody Cassidy, blah, blah, blah. But there's so much more to her that she saves, like, in a deep pocket just for those closest to her.
Oh, my God. Well, I got some things saved for you, so you let me know when you're ready for me to make space, okay?
Oh, babe, any day, any time, it's all for you. I love you, honey bunch.
I love you, too, and I will see you tomorrow on Trends Day Wednesday. You guys, Making Space with Hoda Kotb podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. It is an amazing listen. Go and get your motivation there. Up next, the new kids are spilling their wild secrets about their tour with Salt-N-Pepa and En Vogue. So stay with us. Reba McEntire knows the value of hard work, but until 2015, she didn't know how much her electric or water bill cost.
Reba went on the Apple Fitness Time to Walk experience and said she used to have four dudes handle her business. And after her divorce, she started doing it herself. She said, I made the money, I brought it home. So it was a huge, huge change for me. Is it crazy that she never looked at stuff like this? But not really. She's Reba McEntire.
Yeah, she's bringing in bags on bags on bags. Right. And she's like, I know it's going to get paid and handled. Therefore, y'all do it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think a lot of us have stuff on Apple Pay, not Apple Pay, but on auto pay,
yeah,
that you may not necessarily look at the bill every month. I definitely check in and I put a lot of stuff because I'm so busy. I don't have time to go through and pay myself. So I'll go ahead and put it on, auto and go through, but I'll go through every few months and make sure it's the same amount or, I just had to make a phone call. Like, why'd y'all take extra money? So I go through and check and it just depends on what you're dealing with. I think
that's when you get big checks.
She had, big checks is, not going to a bank. Big checks is, like, there's a way different level of big checks that I'm not at.
See, I have it on auto pay too, but I'm still so curious. I'm like, I want to know how much electricity and water did we use?
But I know from being broke how much things cost.
For sure. I often think that this is how men kind of weasel their ways into women's lives. And no matter how much money you make, men will always make you feel like, I will take care of you, you will be fine. And that will switch to, I'm taking care of you, you should feel lucky.
I think maybe 20, 30 years ago, but I don't think that's how it's hitting in 2021.
I don't know.
It's not hitting that way in 2021. There's a lot of women running circles around men and these financials these days, honey. A lot of women telling these men to sit down and let me handle this. Mm-hmm. In my household, my mom was in charge of, like, they both brought in money, but my mom was growing up was in charge of paying the bills. And now it's so funny, now that they're retired, they switched. And so now my dad is in charge of everything. But my dad even said, like, for many, many years, I never even went in a bank. Like, your mom did everything.
But what was that argument like? Because I feel like in every household, it's like, well, you know what? You do it if you think you can do it better than me.
Yeah, there was that argument for sure. Yeah.
And it switches. But I tell everyone, even my friends who don't have jobs, who are stay-at-home moms, because I think that's a full-time job in its own, look at your financials. Just because your husband makes the money doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a clue of what's happening. And we're learning this with Erica Jane.
Different for you because you hang out with all these rich housewives.
No, I'm talking about my friends who husbands are blue collar workers and who are in the fields and doing.
You know that many housewives,
huh?
He's got a gaggle of housewives.
I have a gaggle of housewives. Like, I have. They're all in the spectrum, but I think it's important to know what is coming in and out of your home so you're not surprised.
Yes.
Well, up next, speaking of surprises, we're celebrating World Teachers Day with a very special guest. One of Erin's favorite teachers is here to tell us how much of a thought she was in high school.
That is not true.
Finally, a day I can get behind. Forget Cookie Day, forget National Margarita Day. It is World Teachers Day. So, of course, we have to celebrate our amazing teachers. Erin, we've got one of your favorite teachers here with us today. Please introduce us to the woman of your dreams.
This is Sue Freitag, aka Tag, my high school drama teacher.
Oh, wow.
I have kept in touch with Freitag since leaving high school, and it always feels like no time has passed once we get to link up again. And I mean, Tag, honestly, what I love the most about you is just you always push me to follow my dreams. I was such a nerd in high school. I was student council. I was into soccer. I was in the thespian
that doesn't
club.
Sound like a nerd, Erin.
That was me, okay. And even when I quit drama to go be a soccer player, you still supported me through and through and always embraced me when I wanted to come back to drama and be in your plays. And I just feel like everything that you ever taught me has stuck with me my entire life and through my career. So grateful for you.
Sue, I just want to let you know, Erin just tried to run out the clock so you wouldn't tell us what she was really like in high school. So, Sue, we got some extra time.
Yes.
Tell us what Miss Lim was like, really.
I got you. Well, first of all, I'm so proud of Erin and the person that you've become. And, I just couldn't be prouder. But, yes, Erin was... She's like the Renaissance woman. She did everything. She was involved in every activity. She was super geeky, but I think it was because, like, she's just so super kind and generous and like on the outside gave this impression like she was really classy and everything, but she was silly and goofy and like just had this like comedy side to her that, you know, just was charismatic. Everybody just drawn to her. So one of my favorites for sure. And that's why we stayed connected all these years. But yeah, I can't say enough wonderful things. She was part of Thespians. She was part of our ninth grade drama class. That's where we met. And then she was also in my film class. We did film together, which, you know, just was a blast and super fun. I don't remember any boring times. We just always had a good time. And well, she was part of a group.
We were in the middle of our break. You were giving her a nickname. What were you calling her?
Yeah, we just all called her Limmy.
Limmy. That was like,
I
love Limmy. Yeah. That's
I'm
so
Limmy.
Cute.
Oh yep, my God. That's me. So
and,
you guys
and how are you
that.
Feeling about seeing our little Limmy with a baby Limmy coming through?
No, it's, I mean, it's wonderful, but in my mind, she's still 16, so it's super weird.
I feel 16 and pregnant.
Yeah. Well, Sue, we have a really big surprise for you today. Erin has decided to name her child Sue, whether it's a boy or a girl. How do you feel, Sue?
Don't you dare. Sue is like an old lady's name. Please do not name her Sue. I'd be happier if you named her Tag.
I'll go with that.
Baby Tag.
Would you like to tell Sue anything before we leave?
Just thank you so much for making a difference in people's lives and for impacting young people every single day, and just happy World Teachers Day to you and to all the educators out there. I love you.
Thank you. And, you know, your baby is so lucky to have you. You're going to be the best mom ever. And I hope that they love drama and soccer just like you do.
Thanks so much, Tag.
This is so heartwarming.
All right.
Love you.
Cancel my teacher. She ain't going to say that stuff about me. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap World Teachers Day today because we can't get Miss Johnson on right now. Coming up, the superstar who just performed Naked on live TV. Nina says she'll do it after the break.
You know what? We'll discuss.
Were you wondering if Kacey Musgraves was really in the buff when she sang on SNL over the weekend? I was. Well, it's true. She bared it all with nothing but a guitar covering her booty. Now it's time for Would You Do It? Trust me, boo. I would need more than a guitar for this big ass. Give me a tuba, a bass drum.
Girl, when you look like Kacey, yeah, you do everything naked. I'm grocery shop naked with that, you know, with that thing. But
I would do it.
No.
You would do it? Mm-hmm. You know what? There's been 800 performances on SNL. Yeah. You got to do something that's going to make a, you know, a splash, because you can't just go on there and sing a song. I mean, Sinead O'Connor tore up a picture of the Pope.
Yeah.
Like, you got to bring it.
I mean, I like her. I don't really know what the purpose was, but I guess that she did it because she wanted to and she could.
You know what? We're going to do this on this show.
Oh, boy,
I'm
going to
get a bunch of florals.
Please.
We're
going to do the whole thing. You don't need at least two guitars thing. Just for right here, baby. Okay? You're going to get a guitar, get you a cello or something to hide all this. Okay? This thickness is going to come through them instruments, baby. The instrument ain't going to hold me back.
Send in the units.
You guys, the bongo drum's about to blow. Tomorrow's going to be a good show. Kyle Richards is telling us about the Real Housewives finale and her new movie. Don't forget to check us out. We love you guys.
Bye.